At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is commending President Trump's decision to send National Guard members to the border with Mexico. The announcement from the White House comes after the president said yesterday that he wants to send troops to the border to improve security until a border wall can be built. The Guard members would help with surveillance and alert federal agents if they see anything suspicious. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen made the announcement at today's White House press briefing.
The president has directed that the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security work together with our governors to deploy the National Guard to our southwest border to assist the Border Patrol. The president will be signing a proclamation to that effect today.
Texas has had Guard personnel, state troopers, and Texas Parks and Wildlife officers on the border since 2014. Residents at a Vickery Meadow apartment complex face a June 30th deadline to move out. That's because the Dallas Independent School District bought the land for a new elementary school. Many of these residents are on the financial edge and can't easily afford another place to live. Supawan Lervisit is an attorney with Legal Aid of Northwest Texas, which represents the North Park Terrace Apartments. She says those who are still there have several complaints.
Tenants report that repairs weren't being responded to, that the property management wasn't responding to requests or staying open as longer, that they're not really getting help with finding a new place at all, that the relocation advisors aren't responding to them, you know, responding to their concerns, that they're just being pressured to move out.
The Dallas School District is offering $1,200 to help residents with their moves. That includes money for security deposits, application fees, and some additional cash for moving costs. Scott Lane is the Deputy Superintendent of Operations for DISD. He says the new elementary school will help relieve overcrowding at nearby Gillstone Elementary.
You know, it's an unfortunate situation in that they are going to have to relocate to a new place, and I would like to look at the positive side and what we're going to do for the community here by building a new school. I know it's difficult for them. We'll do everything we can to help them relocate in the best manner possible.
School district officials met with tenants face-to-face yesterday to talk about their concerns. We'll have more on this story next week here on KERA 90.1. Growing up in the spotlight isn't easy. And when both your father and grandfather were president of the United States, the level of scrutiny is off the charts. Barbara Pierce Bush has a new memoir out that she co-wrote with her twin sister Jenna. They write about life in one of America's most prominent political families. And today on Think, she talked with Chris Boyd about the perceptions people have of her parents.
Growing up, we knew our dad. He married a librarian, and he's a voracious reader and reads all the time. I mean, he still reads about a book a week and reads more than anyone in our family. And that's not really the public image of my dad as being, you know, really smart and really curious in that type of way. And my mom has often been very typecast as sort of a quiet, shy librarian. And my mom is fiercely outspoken within our family. My memories of her, not necessarily of us sitting around and reading together, it was going to concerts when I grew up in Austin and
reggae concerts.
Yeah, right? My mom loves music and she loves reggae. And so she and I would both go to concerts together in Austin at like small clubs, small music venues when I was in high school, because we'd go and listen to music together. And that, my mom is kind of a closet hippie. And I actually always was worried my mom was going to leave my dad for Van Morrison because she loved Van Morrison so much. And that's probably not what you think of Laura Bush when you think of her.
Barbara P. Bush and Jenna Hager Bush's new memoir is called Sisters First, Stories from Our Wild and Wonderful Life. This episode of Think airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Events in North Texas and across the country today are honoring the legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He was assassinated on this day 50 years ago. Actor Sean Hamilton plays King in the Dallas Theater Center's production of The Great Society. KEI's Chris Boyd recently talked with Hamilton about the civil rights activist.
I think he believed that he had to change the laws of this country. Otherwise, nothing that they did would be long lasting. So he was willing to work within the structure and compromise within the structure in order to get long lasting change done. When people are being beaten and killed, the idea of nonviolence as a sort of moral or tactical construct, it doesn't immediately come to people's minds. If someone hits you, you hit back. He was playing a larger sort of game, but he was running out of time. time. He had to move things as quickly as possible because people expected big results from him. They wanted a big win. They wanted a victory lap. And he took a chance. He was willing to take his tactics and go into areas where he didn't have as much control and he knew he might lose. When he decided to go back to Memphis for the sanitation workers' strike, he didn't have to do that. He was organizing a poor people's campaign in Washington, D.C. He had decided that the way of aligning people's interests across races was not about race. It was really about economics. If he could combine poor people together across racial lines, he thought that that would be the future of the civil rights movement in this country. King wasn't afraid of a challenge. He knew that he had wings that were splitting off. He thought the way to bring them together was to unify people around their own shared economic interest. And that's what he was trying to do.
Why was it so critical to King that nonviolent resistance remain the only tactic used?
King took a lot of his strategies from Gandhi and his program against the British in India, and before that, Gandhi's work in South America before he even came back to England. That's where he really trained himself, was in South Africa. So for King, it was both a political crusade but also a moral crusade. And I think that strategically, he really believed that nonviolence was a way for a marginalized community who did not have planes and guns and the military to be able to wage an equal war against a larger opponent. It was a sort of a way of shifting the opponent's energies and using public opinion against the larger party. And King was a master of that. So it wasn't simply a moral crusade for him in terms of nonviolence. It was also very strategic politically for him as well. And nonviolence was very important in showing the public that you had a real David and Goliath situation there. They put their bodies on the line, and that was part of it.
You have some really talented women in the cast. It's hard to notice that history doesn't give them very much to do. They were certainly active behind the scenes. But it's really strange, you know, 50 years on, especially as a woman watching this, to recognize how little women were considered when public policy was being made.
In some way, I can relate it to what's happening now in the sense that the women's movement that has become so strong around the Me Too movement is a reaction to things. When things get really bad, people get out on the streets. And so that's been good to see, is that people are once again taking mass action against a system that they feel doesn't serve their needs. And I think that's what happened at that time, was that the idea of large-scale social action was brought up by King and demonstrations by the African-American community. But those techniques then filtered down to a large number of marginalized people, especially the women's movement. And we've been out of the habit for a while, and it's good to see people back out on the streets again. And the women's movement, just then as now, has become one of the strongest parts of that.
That was actor Sean Hamilton talking about Martin Luther King Jr. in the play The Great Society. Hamilton plays King in the Dallas Theater Center production, which just wrapped up in Dallas. And coming up tomorrow morning, a filmmaking competition is trying to encourage young black directors to develop their skills. This week, our big screen team talks with someone about how making short films is often the first step toward Hollywood. It's tomorrow at 8:20 on Morning Edition, right here on KERA. Mostly clear skies in store for us this evening. Should be a low around 47 later tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy with a high near 73. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers with a low around 62. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.